Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, everyone, and this is Carl from Carl's Cavern. Blah. Try that again. Carl from Carl's Cavern. And nice to have you with us. Now, unlike TC, I'm not as organized. We don't have a nice little intro and that sort of thing. But this is my take on Black History Month and my playlist of songs, which differs just a little bit from our guest DJ host here, co-host, the wonderful and the incredible TC Clark. TC, nice to have you with me tonight.
Thank you, sir. Now I feel bad about all the shit I say about you.
Yeah. No, you know? Don't feel bad. It's in the fucking contract, okay?
Yeah, seriously. Okay. I know it is. Hey, you know, I'll tell you what. When you set your playlist, I was excited because there are so many things like, because, you know, 2 weeks ago I did my show and I'm looking at your playlist going, why the hell didn't I play that? Or why the hell didn't I do that? You know? So you're picking up where I left
off. Part of this is that there was so much out there that I thought having a different take on this would be a lot better, you know, and give our listeners a little more background in that. And I got to say before we start that there are many artists and many reasons why I picked these songs. And a lot of these are very personal. Now, part of it is discovering them in my record collection. Part of it is just happenstance and really like doing some research. And the other part of this is hearing the song from somebody else who did a remake of it, and then I found out who the original was. And that's where we go with the first song here, which is by the Cadets. We'll talk about it because maybe the Cadets weren't the original, and we'll talk about that afterwards, of this song, which is Smack Dab in the Middle. I originally heard this through Rykooter.
Pick me a town in any climb where people like rock and time. Stay away for day and night. Everybody's feeling good and right. Then throw me
smack dab in the middle.
Picture me
smack dab in the middle.
Fling me
smack dab in the middle.
Let me rock and roll to satisfy my soul. Tin Cadillac, diamond mill, 10 suits of clothes, dress to kill, 10 room house, some barbecue, 50 chicks not over 22, then throw me
smack dab in the middle,
flop for me
smack dab in the middle,
chunk for me
smack dab in the middle.
Let me rock and roll to satisfy my soul. 100 bands, chorus girl, a street that pays with natural pearl, a wagon load, bonds and stock, then open up the doors at Fort Knox and throw me
smack dab in the middle,
hurdle of me
smack dab in the middle,
block for me
smack dab in the middle.
Let me rock and roll to satisfy my soul.
And let me rock and roll and satisfy my soul.
You heard.
And
let me rock and roll inside a diamond soul.
I mean.
And let me rock and roll inside a diamond soul.
Great song. Great song. And,
fantastic.
You know, I don't call that doo-wop. I call that doo-rock. You know, because they really swing that son of a bitch. They do.
Yeah, I mean, it has the element of doo-wop, but it leans more towards rock. You're right.
You know, so you have a little information on this song. Because it wasn't really originally done by the Cadets, but it kind of was. You want to explain
it
that?
Was done by, yeah. It was weird because, you know, when you sent me the link for the YouTube, and yes, we get our songs off YouTube. The cover of it said the Cadets, smack dab in the middle. So I started looking around, and when the Cadets. I think they're originally a gospel group, weren't they? I believe.
Yeah.
They were gospel, and they were talking to, you know, the record company said, well, let's go this route. But they didn't want, they were putting out so many songs, they didn't want them competing with each other. So the record company, I can't think of which one Cadets were with, but the other one was
Cadets
called RPM.
The Jacks were on RPM. The Cadets were on the Blue Label, and I can't remember what the label was.
Well,
but,
yeah, it was the parent company Cadets were with, and they had a subsidiary label called RPMs. So RPM Records. So what they did was instead of the Cadets flooding the market with their own songs, they recorded half their songs as called the Jacks. And that song was actually smack dab in the middle. It was actually released by the Jacks on RPM, but it was the same personnel. It was the same band, just using two different names. And he told me that was kind of unusual. Yeah, that happened a lot in the 50s.
Yeah, it did. So, because they didn't want to, they would release it like 6 months to a year afterwards and try to get a hit again and so on and so forth.
Yeah,
and that's what they would do.
Originally. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
that was a little crazy.
Yeah, it happens though. It's not unusual. But now we're going to go on to our second song, and our second song is the original version of "Land of a Thousand Dances," which of course was Wilson Pickett did it, and a number of other people did it. But this is the New Orleans singer, Chris Kenner. And this sounds a lot different than what you're used to. And actually, this particular 45 was one that I bought when I was 6 years old. So there you go.
Huh. Chicken in the pot.
So how different is that from the version that you know?
Oh, yeah. It's big, big, big difference. Big difference. You know, I was just reading about him. And Alan Toussaint took him under his wing.
Yeah.
And then he, and another, his first big song was I Like It Like That, which Dave Clark
exactly.
Five turned into a huge hit. And the guy, everybody copied him. Everybody copied him. And his, you know, everybody had success. He's one of those guys that turned out great songs, did okay, but everybody else did better with them. So
yeah, like you did on your show a couple of weeks ago, Sir Mac Rice and Mustang Sally.
Right.
So, Definitely. So yeah, Chris Kenner is someone I've liked ever since I was a kid. And as I said, I bought that Instant 45, that was the label, when I was like 6 years old. I love that song.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah. So talking about covers, okay, probably this next song is basically well-known from the Elvis Presley version. Of course, we're talking about Hound Dog. But let me tell you something. If you've never heard the original, then you haven't heard this song. Written by Lieber and Stoller, this is the original version by Big Mama Thornton. And hold on to your hats because you're going to need a seatbelt for this one.
Oh,
Can I just say, God damn, is that good?
Every rock and roller out there has to thank Big Mama Thornton for her contribution. You know, and they considered that one of the first, very first rock and roll songs that, you know, featured the guitar, heavy guitar in it.
Yeah.
You know, it is just incredible what she did. And she had so many. She had the original Ball and Chain song.
Yeah. Now you bring that up. I wanted to bring up one thing about that song particularly, and her relationship later in her life with Janis Joplin, because she was basically a mentor to Janis Joplin. And Janis Joplin, on her one solo album, did Ball and Chain specifically in honor of Big Mama Thornton. So
yes.
I wanted to make sure that connection was there too.
She's, let's see, that song stayed number one for 7 weeks in 1953 on the R&B chart.
Yeah.
So that's just the power of it. And so many people out there.
Nothing against Elvis, but that version is so much better than Elvis's.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you can't even compare them. But everybody, you know, and, you know, to be fair, Hound Dog by Elvis Presley was, you know, everybody knew that one, you know, or knows that one. Now you know the original. And they say you can never go back, but God damn it, we did. We found the right one.
We did.
All
well,
right, man.
We're gonna move on here, and we're gonna do a little something that I really, really love by a particular artist, and that's Johnny Guitar Watson. And the way that I found out about Johnny Guitar Watson is through my love of Frank Zappa, because there was a couple albums that Johnny particularly was in, particularly One Size Was Fits All. And then I said, who the hell is that? And then Frank Zappa said he's one of his favorite guitarists. And then I started looking. And Johnny had two careers. He had his early 50s career, which we're going to do a song from there. And then after Zappa, he went and he reinvented himself into a funk soul guy and just did some great stuff in the 70s and early 80s. Before he passed away. So right now we're going to do Gangster of Love. And yes, that song, that title, you know, that lyric. Yeah, that comes from this song. Trust me. Gangster of Love, Johnny Guitar Watson.
Jesse James and Frank James, Billy Kidd, all the rest. Supposed to be some bad cats out there in the West. But when they dug me and my gangster ways, they hung up their guns and made it to the grave. 'Cause I'm a gangster of love. Say I'm a gangster of love. Well now, when I walk down the street, all the girls that I meet say he's a gangster of love. I robbed a local beauty contest for their first place winner. They found her with me out in Hollywood, eating a big steak dinner. They tried to get her to go back to pick up her prize. She stood up and told them, You just don't realize that he's a gangsta all love. Early in the morning, gangsta all love. Ooh, yeah, now. When I walk in a bar, girls from near and far say he's a gangsta of love. Oh, let me invade a little. Jump on my white horse Cadillac. I ride across the borderline. I rope 65 girls. I kiss them all at the same time. I take 25 or 30. I put them all on a freight. $1 million reward for me. Each and every state. The sheriff say, is you Guitar Watson? In a very deep voice. Say yes, a brother sheriff, and that's your wife on the back of my horse. 'Cause I'm a gangsta of love. I'm a gangsta of love. Hey yeah, when I walk down the street, all the girls that I meet say he's a
I don't know if you can record that song today, but God, damn, I love that song.
Well,
real
know, the
simple,
funny thing is,
real direct, and just there. What do you think, TC?
And it influenced so many people. One song that Frank Zappa did say that made him want to pick up a guitar was a 3 minute. What was it called? 3 minutes past midnight.
Yeah.
3 hours past midnight. That was from 1956. But an interesting thing is, you know who really grabbed onto Gangster Love was Steve Miller.
Yeah, well, I sort of referenced that.
Yeah, he recorded it, you know, for his 1968 album. He made reference to it in his song Space Cowboy, You Know That I'm a Gangster of Love. And he also mentioned it in The Joker. Some call me the gangster
right.
of love. So, I mean, it's just in Jimmy Vaughn, Stevie Ray Vaughan, they were huge fans of Johnny Guitar Watson. He influenced so many different people. Bobby Womack.
Well, I'll tell you one that you haven't mentioned. And you haven't mentioned Jimi Hendrix. Because let me tell you something. Everything that Jimi Hendrix did playing the guitar back behind his back and all that, all done by Johnny Guitar Watson way before Jimmy. And Jimmy
and
was
Johnny
very
Guitar.
Aware of Johnny. Go ahead.
Yeah, and Johnny Guitar Watson said, he goes, yeah, all that stuff Jimmy understood. He goes, I did all that shit first.
Yeah, and he did.
There's a quote of him.
And one song I would recommend listening to is Space Guitar by Johnny Guitar Watson.
Yeah.
Because guess what?
Yep.
That's the first song with reverb in it.
Yeah.
Ever. So,
there
yeah.
There you go.
There you go. Johnny Guitar Watson. Well, we're going to move
great,
on.
Great
and
choice.
We're going to talk about a singer who a friend of mine, an old customer of mine, John Wilder, said of her, she's big, she's black, she sweats. She sings, and goddamn does she sing. And, of course, we're talking about Coco Taylor. And this particular song, again, it's Ry Cooder introduced me to this song, and then I had to see who did it first. It was Coco. So this is Coco Taylor, Edgar the Head.
Like fire, drive the water.
Killer tune. Just a killer tune.
Yeah. Beautiful. That is, she's such an influence on so many people, too. And she stayed active right up until she died.
Absolutely.
She died,
I actually saw her four times. I saw her four times.
Oh, wow.
At Bluesfest.
Oh, my God.
Just incredible. Three years in a row in Chicago. She loved doing the Blues Fest in Chicago. She put on a show, man. Holy shit.
She brought such an energy to the stage that, you know, most people just dream of having. Yeah, it was interesting. She actually performed at the Blues Awards in 2009, May 7, 2009. 12 days later, she had surgery. And... ended up dying from complications from that, you know, just like 2 weeks later. So
yeah,
who knows how long she would have went on. You know, she was
a definite change from Etta. Etta was more smooth, and Coco was more in your face.
Yeah, she had more of that Aretha Franklin to her, I would say, if I were to compare something there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was she was 80 when she died, and I know she probably would have kept on going for a while.
One thing
we skipped over with Johnny Guitar Watson was his death, which was quite interesting. He collapsed on stage in Japan, and supposedly his last words were, "Ain't this a bitch," which was one of his biggest songs. So,
of course, that was the name of one of his songs, and as I said, in the 70s and early 80s, man, he really, really reinvented himself, and those albums are just awesome.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so we're moving on to someone that I really liked, and I saw them twice in Chicago at the Chicago Blues Fest, and that's Johnny Otis. And Johnny Otis had a group of people that was just doing really good stuff. Willie the Hand Jive is probably the best known, but this is something that I picked up on a 45. And was one of the few stereo 45s on Capitol, Red Label. And that we're going to be listening to one of his lesser hits, but one of my favorite songs from Johnny Otis, Casting My Spell. So here we go. Ah, why didn't that go on? Hold on. There we go.
And threw them in a pot, 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 pot. I took a blue snake, a green snake, and tied them in a knot, 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 knot. I took a hawk jaw, a dog's paw, and hung them on the line, 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 line. I took a horse hair, a green pear, and made a crazy sign, 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 sign. I'm casting my spell on you.
casting my spell on you. You'll never, never be untrue. I took a ghost tooth, an old shoe, and put them in the ground, 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 ground. I took an old dish, a dry fish, and made a crazy sound, 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 sound. I took a goose egg, a frog leg, and hit them in a sack, 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 sack. I got a Hindu, a tattoo, a genie on my back, 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 back. I'm casting my spell on you. I'm casting my spell on you. I'm casting my spell on you. You'll never, never be untrue. Hey. Them in a pot, 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 pot. I took a blue snake, a green snake, and tied them in a knot, 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 knot. I took a horse jaw, a dog paw, and hung them on the line, 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 line. I took a horse hair, a green pair, and made a crazy sign, 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 sign. I'm casting my spell on you. I'm casting my spell on you. I'm casting my spell on you. You'll never, never be untrue. 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 Now, if you ain't chair dancing to that, son of a gun, something's wrong with you.
Right? Of all the Johnny Otis songs out there, why did you pick that one? Just out of curiosity.
Because one thing is I saw him do it live. But I saw him do most of his songs. But the other reason is I just really, really like that song. And again, it's on a stereo 45, which makes it even – it was one of the 45s in my collection that was actually worth some money. So
right.
I have a connection with that song too.
Okay. Just checking because, I mean, I love that song too. You know, and it's just – I saw it come up like, oh, goddamn, look which one he picked. You know, I loved it. You know, I mean, there a lot of people, you know, they called him the godfather of rhythm and blues, and he had so many good songs. And again, you know, like everybody else we're talking about here, we're just big influential. You know, he's a big influence on a lot of artists.
And also, his son, Shuggy, played with Frank Zappa.
Yeah.
Shuggy was quite a guitarist in his own right.
He started out, you know, like playing with swing orchestras.
Right.
You know, in the 40s. And made the jump, you know, after he had his own band, like in the mid-40s. He made the jump into, like, rock and roll and R&B, and it was just an incredible guy.
Absolutely.
Just incredible.
And
he was going
well into his 90s. Before he passed away.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, he was still performing at the time, too. Because I know when I saw him in Chicago, he was well into his 70s
at
that point. You know, and he died in the mid to late 2000s. But, yeah.
If you want to go deep on the guy, Mambo Boogie.
Oh,
such
yeah.
a fantastic
oh,
song.
Absolutely.
You know,
so
there's one
go.
For you.
Oh, absolutely. So we're going to move on here.
You know, hold on. You know, he discovered Etta James.
Yes, I know.
She was 13 years old and saw her at a talent show. So just want to throw that out there. Okay.
Okay, so we're going to move on to... one of my favorite artists, Jimmy McCracklin. You would know him from a single called The Walk, but this one is a little different, and I really, really like this tune. I actually discovered this in figuring out what cut I wanted. So I didn't really know this song before I researched this show. So we're going to do She's Gone by Jimmy McCracklin. Jimmy was basically a proponent of what they called the West Coast style. And he ended up in the 70s owning a club, I think it was the Fountainhead in San Francisco. That's where he was from. And would bring in all the blues people like Etta James and Lowell Fulsom and so on and so forth. And the other interesting thing about Jimmy McCracklin, his backing band was called the Blues Blasters, and Phil Alvin named his band after that, the Blasters. So, you know, just again, someone who had a major impact, though you probably don't know the name, you know, in listening. So check them out, definitely. What do you think, TC?
Well,
did you know that song?
It's interesting because I know how big of a fan you are with Jimmy McCracklin. You probably had a song in mind when you went to get it, and then you found this one. Found a gem right there. That's an absolute gem. That is like if you were going to introduce anybody to early R&B and rock and roll, that would be a good song to say, okay, listen to this one first, and we'll go from there. Because I think you found a great one.
It's funny. You nailed it on the head because I was in between three songs by McCracklin. And then I was running, I don't know this song. What the hell is this? And I played it. Okay, that's the one.
Wow.
Great song.
Yeah. Well, so what were you thinking about for him? Did you have a specific song at first?
I was thinking, basically, I was looking at the walk. Okay.
Yeah.
And then I was looking at, let's see, hold on. I got to remember
now. The Walk was a great song. The Walk actually was a song that was in my original list for my show 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad I cut it out. because that gave you the opportunity. It's like Jimmy
McCracklin.
The
other one is
find
called,
that
the other one I was looking at was Tramp.
Yeah.
It was Tramp.
Phenomenal,
okay.
Song.
And I was looking at those two, and then I went across this one, and I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
there
you
go.
It. Yep. Jackpot.
Yeah, you had that nailed, man. You had it nailed. So our next song is probably one of the better known songs that I'm playing today. I always mispronounce this, so please help me out here. Da-do-run-run by the Crystals. Okay, never mind. You'll hear it.
Da-do-run-run.
Okay, here we go. And we're going to do the Crystals, and we're right here, right now.
I made them on a Monday and my heart stood still. They do run, 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 they do run, run. Somebody told me that his name was Bill. They do run, 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 they do run, run. Yeah, my heart stood still. Yeah, his name was Bill. And when he walked me home, they do run, run, run.
When you think of girls groups from the 60s, you basically think of Motown. But I wanted to stay away from that. And this particular group is from New York City and also was produced by Phil Spector. So there's a bit of that bubblegum influence on it, but still, it's a great song. And of course, the Crystals, they're from like 1961 to 64, they were huge. You know, He's a Rebel, which was another one of their songs I was considering. And Then He Kissed Me. But really, really good, solid pop from that era. And what do you think of the Crystals, TC?
Yeah, they were actually the most influential girls group. Because of the Crystals, that opened the door for Motown for those female groups to come in.
Exactly.
They were really the pioneering female group, and it was interesting because you said Phil Spector, and that was a brand new label. He and
Phil,
I think the other guy's name was, that started. And Phil Spector was only 21 at the time of that label. And 1962 when he bought out his partner. But I'm going to give you some movie trivia here, Carl.
Okay.
Can you think of a comedy movie that towards the beginning had that song in there? Not the song, but the people in the movie were singing it. Do you remember in Stripes when Harold Ramis.
Oh, yes.
Harold Ramis' character was teaching English as a second language.
Right.
He had all these foreigners singing that song.
Nice.
So that popped in my head when I was recording. It's like, the shit I remember. But I can't remember the thing that electric bill, you know?
it really is crazy. But
yeah,
but there you go with that.
That was a fantastic pick right there, my friend. I think you got
well,
a legend.
Well, would you believe we're almost halfway done here?
Yeah, and you got a legend coming up, don't you?
Yep. Well, you know, this next one, you got to give it to the Godfather of Soul. And you got to do it all by James Brown. You just have to. And I thought we would do the first really big hit with him and the Fabulous Plays. And you know what? I think he called me up from the afterlife and said, please, please, please play this song. So we are. Please, please, please. By James Brown and the Fabulous Flames.
Please, 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 please.
Can you say? Seriously, what can you say? But God bless, he was great.
Yeah, no doubt. I got a little confusion about this song too. Okay, it was the first professional recording of James Brown and the Famous Flames. Now, was he listed? Were they listed like that, or were they the Famous Flames? And then later.
It was the Fabulous Flames, actually, first.
Oh, no, it's the Famous Flames.
Is it?
I'll put you on that one.
Well, let me put it this way. I think I didn't have the original album, but I had a reissue. And on the reissue, it's the Fabulous Flames.
I'm reading right now, The Famous Flames, were an American rhythm, blues, soul vocal group founded in Toccoa, Georgia in 1953 by Bobby Bird. James Brown first began his career as a member of the Famous Flames, emerging as a lead singer by the time they recorded their first appearance in a professional recording, Please, 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 in 1956. Everything I'm reading says Famous.
Well, it's funny. Then it was a big mistake on that reissue, because I've always called them the Fabulous Flames. But that's my mistake.
No, that's all right. That's what, two fuck-ups tonight? One, two?
Yeah. What, one more and I strike out.
You're love free. Yeah, you're
okay,
love free.
Fair enough. Hey, I ain't perfect. I'll be the first one to admit it. So we're going to move on to one of the most influential piano players. And, of course, anyone that knows me, if somebody's playing keys, I'm going to listen. And when you talk about New Orleans music, you cannot help but talk about Professor Longhair. And this is probably his most famous song, Big Chief. So here we go. Big Chief by Professor Longhair. Now, I could have added part two to this, but you get the idea with part one. Professor Longhair. Without Professor Longhair, you don't have James Booker. You don't have Dr. John. You don't have hardly any music coming out of New Orleans without Professor Longhair. Period.
You're correct with that.
Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. That's it.
You know, another interesting thing about him was he's another guy that reinvented himself. Once they started the Jazz Festival, New Orleans Jazz Festival in 1970, he started leaning more towards the jazz, which is really cool. You know, I mean, he's got such an expansive, you know, library of from here to there. It's just incredible. And he's such a huge influence on two of my favorite artists today, Mark Broussard and Trombone Shorty in Orleans Avenue. You know, huge influence. But I like probably during production, somebody said, AFS, as they called him. You think we ought to add some lyrics here? He goes, nah, I'll just whistle.
Yeah, there you go.
He always does. The whistler. It's so fun. I just love it.
But, you know, another thing is he took James Booker under his wing, and James Booker is one of my favorite people. Unfortunately, I couldn't really do anything from James because he would go on for 12 minutes, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, and but really, really fine, seminal musician, Professor Longhair. So there you go. If it's New Orleans, go take a nod toward Professor Longhair. Check out his other music. Big time.
He was one of the early inductions into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, too. I mean, I'm so glad they recognized him. Of course, that was back when they recognized pioneers and didn't just let anybody in like they do now. We don't get started on that, will we?
Don't get me started with them.
Don't even get me started. Okay.
Yeah. So we're going to move on here to one of my all-time favorite people. And, of course, you know, maybe I put a spell on you, TC, and talking you into coming on this show, because we're going to do Screaming Jay Hawkins, but we're not going to do that tune. We're going to do one of my favorite fun tunes. And let me tell you something. This guy would come out of a coffin. He had bones through his nose. The whole idea of rock and roll being performance art, period. It's Screaming Jay Hawkins. And we're going to do
He started shock rock. So.
No question. So here we go, Little Demon, and I love this song.
Down in the valley on the foggy hill rocks with a crazy little demon blowing his top. Fire in his eyes and smoke from his head. You gotta be real cool to hear the words he said. He did a for the one he loved, so he had death on his mind, cause the demon let him go. Going around through the world till he understand his pain. Somebody help him get the demon home again. He did a took the booty out of fruity, had the devil drinking wine. He did a that a woman still the boss. Down in the valley on the foggy hill rock, you can still hear the demon blowing his top. He did a he pushed back night, bought in afternoon. He even made leap year jump over the moon. He took the 4th of July and he put it in May. He took this morning, bought back yesterday. He did a
how can you not laugh at that? Seriously.
Oh, no.
You know, he had a tendency to do a lot of noises like that. And if you ever want your life changed, and trust me, you need to hear this song. I didn't do it because it's a little long, but Constipation Blues by him is just fucking insane. And I love him. And the thing is, he reinvented himself too. because he became an actor late in his life.
What?
He's in Mystery Train.
Yeah, I was
going to
ask you about that.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you about that. In particular, what's the movie I wanted to ask you about? Oh, Mystery Train.
Yeah.
From 1988 is an indie film called Mystery Train. Did you see that? Jim Jarmusch,
who wrote the script and also directed that, was a huge fan of Screaming Jay Hawkins. And he actually wrote the character
based on
Screaming Jay Hawkins, then asked him to be in it without thinking he would. And Screaming Jay said, hell yeah, I'll be in it. And actually, he was in two or three of Jarmusch's films. And he's absolutely wonderful in Mystery Train. He's just an absolute... And he's playing himself, you know. I mean, you know, but himself, you know, there's no one else like him. Seriously.
I've heard that it's hard. The hardest character you can play is yourself. So there you have it. So
there you go.
Great.
So we're going to keep moving here. Oh, yeah. We're going to keep moving here, and we're going to come to one of my favorite people in 60s pop. And he was primarily a jazz pianist. And one of the things I really liked about Ramsey Lewis was his how clean he was and how just notes were there just where they needed to be. No extra notes, no, you know, just great tune. We're going to give his biggest hit here. And this is Ramsey Lewis and the In Crowd. Here we go. fantastic. I mean, Randy
wow.
Lewis has a major, major background here. Originally signed to Chess Records. That was the Randy Lewis Trio that begat the Young Holt Experience, which begat Earth, Wind, and Fire, which begat so many other things. But he really is the person that you either bow down to or curse, because he really founded what was known as smooth jazz. That's
yeah.
all Ramsey Lewis. And I had
yeah.
the pleasure, hold on, I had the pleasure of being in Chicago in the 90s, and he had a morning show on the smooth jazz station. I would listen to occasionally when I had the chance before a show, before going to class. So, you know, I mean, Ramsey Lewis was really big. I loved his piano playing, so he had to be on this show. So go ahead, PC. What do you got?
Well, so interesting about the guy is that song we heard, The In Crowd, won a Grammy in 1965 for Best Jazz Performance. Now, the following year, he would hold it right there. He won the Best Rhythm and Blues Group Performance. Won a Grammy.
Yep.
So he wins it in jazz 1 year. He wins it in R&B the next year. And then he won another one in R&B. He won 3 Grammys
yeah.
total. And the other one he won in R&B was 7 years later.
Hang on. Yeah, Hang On
Hang
Sloopy.
On Sloopy. Yeah, 1973. Yeah, I was just reading about him. He had 80 albums. Just incredible. 5 gold records.
Well,
3
he
Grammys.
Also hosted a 13-episode Legends of Jazz TV series that was on public TV, which I remember seeing. He also was artistic director at the Ravinia Jazz Festival in Highland Park, Illinois. And he also served on the Board of Trustees for the Chicago High School of the Arts. So, I mean, this guy was really, really, you know, gave back to his community.
And we just lost him last September of 2022.
I know. Such
good
a shame.
Choice,
such
man.
You know, and the thing about it is Ramsey is not, you know, he's not as well known as some other people. But in the 60s, man, everything he put out, I listened to. I loved him when I was growing up.
Yeah.
Seriously. Big influence on me. So we're
yep.
going back now, and we're going back to a group that I absolutely love, the Olympics. And we're going to do a song that was written for them, but you don't know it by them. You know it by somebody else. We'll have PC talk about that when we're done. This is Good Lovin' by the Olympics.
Can you tell me?
Now, I don't know about you, TC, but that's the version of that song I love.
Oh, sure. Me too, man. That is classic rock and roll right there. That
yeah.
is the version. And this is another band that kept reinventing themselves. I mean, they did some doo-wop. They moved on to this. Their first big movie was, or their first big song was called Western Movies.
And that was done in the year of my birth, 1958. And I actually had that on vinyl. Also, they were also known as the Marathons for a while, and they did a song called Peanut Butter, which was a big hit, too. They're a fascinating group because they really did a journey, travel a musical journey, and reinvent themselves many times. And this was their latest, I think in 67, this came out in 66, 67 they actually disbanded. But man, what a great band.
This song was from 1965, and that same year, Charles Spicer, who was a tenor singer, was shot and killed in the Watts riots. So, same year. So he didn't never get to see it. They kept, no original, the last original member died in 2017, but there's a group out there called the Olympics by playing doo-wop tours and, rock and roll review tours still. But
their sons and daughters, their sons, and that I think a lot of it is that.
We know
so many 45s by this band. I just was just smitten by this band.
Well,
and of course
we know
the song is the Rascals are the ones that know that. Are the ones that really
They took it to number one. They took it to number one as, very next year. But it's been recorded by everybody. I mean, Mary Wells, The Ventures, The Who, The Grateful Dead, Bobby McFerrin.
Yeah.
Remember that name?
Oh, yeah. I was actually a McFerrin fan.
Really?
So, so that's the Olympics.
I hate to...
And I'll tell you, everyone listening... Go check out their music because it's phenomenal. It really is. Now we're going to move on, and I had to put in a Motown song, and I also wanted to focus on a female singer, and I wanted to focus on a female singer that maybe not many people remember, and I think part of it is because she died way too young. But she did a lot of work with Marvin Gaye, and I'm talking about Tammy Terrell. We're going to do the big hit because you know what? There ain't no song like this because there ain't no mountain high enough. And that's what we're doing right now, Tammy Terrell and Marvin Gaye.
Baby, no.
really don't have much to say other than it was a real shame that she passed so young. But we were talking about her, TC, so why don't you take a little bit, because you know a little bit about the relationship between the two of them. So go ahead. Take this one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she died at 24 years old. And when she died, it was drugs and alcohol, wasn't it?
No, it was brain aneurysm.
Brain aneurysm, right. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm correcting myself. But when she died, her mother was so distraught and so pissed off at everybody at Motown that the only one from Motown who was invited to her funeral was Marvin Gaye. And a lot of people say Marvin Gaye never recovered from her death. I mean, they were such a good duo. I don't think they were a romantic couple, were they?
No, they were not.
No, they're a working couple. And she meant so much to Marvin Gaye's career. And like I said, he just was never the same after that.
And she was a cutie, too.
Oh, my God. That's the first thing I said to you. I said, oh, man, she was a hottie. But,
yeah,
she's one of those ones you just wonder where she would have went. You know, she would have, you know, not passed away. Big
tragedy
there.
And the funny thing is, her mother, in a book later written about her, said that she had headaches all the time when she was a kid. And if they would have really, you know, thought more about it, perhaps she could have survived and that. But, you know, it's what it is, unfortunately.
Yep.
It's what...
And we all know what happened to Marvin Gaye, so, I mean...
Yeah.
Okay. Another good choice. Okay. Man, that might be... Oh, I'm going to put that in the top three songs you played so far.
Well, it's hard for me to... Because every one of these songs are great songs, and they all mean something to me, too.
Definitely.
So we're going to move on, and we're going to move on to one of my favorite soul singers. And this particular song, I may like the Talking Heads version of this, but let me tell you something. Without Al Green, you know, you wouldn't have so many people, and there's so many versions of this. I decided to go with the original recorded version of this, because when it really, really, you listen to it, it's so much different and so much more soulful in its own way to other versions you've heard. So this is Take Me to the River by Al Green.
Dedicate this song to little Junior Park, a cousin of mine that's gone on, but we'd like to kind of carry on in his name. Yeah.
Exactly. So Al Green has a real interesting backstory. His father was a minister. He was kicked out of the house at 15 for listening to Jackie Wilson. Ended up living with a prostitute, doing drugs, but then found music. And one of the things I want to mention, I was in Memphis in October. And Memphis, of course, is the home of Stax Records, the home of Sun Records. But it is also the home of Willie Mitchell and High Records. And he hooked up with Willie Mitchell, and his first album with High, Green, Al Green is Blues, was a big hit in 69. And just, man, this song just went through the roof. And you can listen to that voice. There's James Brown in that voice. There's so many different things that he appropriated. He's one of the best singers. I think he was rated the 19th best singer of all time in R&B and rock and roll. And just a tremendous influence. Also now a minister in the Baptist Church. And just a tremendous performer. And you can't say enough about Al Green. What do you think, TC?
Well, that song came out. This is actually your newest song you're playing tonight, I believe. Came out in 1974. And the Take Me to the River, there's some of those early religious influences in that song. However, 2 years later, 1976, when he became a minister, he dropped that song from his repertoire, I guess because he thought that it was anti-religious or whatever. But the thing I want to touch on with that song, he co-wrote it. He and Keeney Hodges, his guitar player, locked themselves in a lakefront house for 3 days and wrote music. And Keeney Hodges, he played for Ann Peebles. You're familiar with her, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
absolutely.
Tom Petty was a big fan. Tom Petty's a big fan of Ann Peebles. I hear her on Tom Petty radio all the time on Sirius XM. But Keeney Hodges was the man behind Al Green. You got the voice.
Yeah, and actually Keeney Hodges was also one of the main people on High Records along with Ann Peebles. You know,
correct.
They were all part of that group of High Records.
Yep.
So it's all Willie Mitchell too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm glad you mentioned Willie Mitchell there.
You know, and unfortunately, when I was down in Memphis, I don't think they have a museum for High Records, which is unfortunate because that was a huge label back in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, that's kind of one of those labels that just kind of disappeared, and I don't think, you don't even really hear it unless you're listening to one of their songs. But it didn't have the big history that, Stax had and all that. So, all right. Great pick. Great pick.
Okay. So now we're going to move in. I wanted to move into a bit of black psychedelia, and I was going to do a song, Time, of course, but you did that last week or 2 weeks ago.
Chambers Brothers.
And you said, you can't do that song. I did it. So I said, well, if I'm going to do black psychedelia, I'm just praying that George Clinton and Funkadelic has a song that's not 12 minutes long. And I happened to find one that's not 12 minutes long. It's actually just over 3 minutes. And I listened to it, and it was the first time I'd heard this song. And I said, holy shit, we're doing this song. So this is Funky Dollar Bill by Funkadelic.
Mm-hmm. push a push to fix a fix. The judge a quit, the junkie lose his life. For the dollar bill, for the dollar bill, U.S. dollar bill.
Can't say enough about George Clinton. That man has had so much influence. It's not even funny. And just an amazing, amazing amount of music. Still going strong. And by the way, if you ever want to see basically a crab come out of George Clinton's ass, and I'm not joking, there's a movie called, what's it called? Kazoo, I think. Which is just hysterically funny and weird and just crazy. But he's still going strong. And I love George Clinton. And I love everyone that's come out of that band. And, you know, this is Funkadelic. And it was Parliament. Now it's called Parliament Funkadelic. And he's still touring. Son of a bitch is still touring. Well into his 80s.
Yeah, like we, you know, and I had never heard that song either. So you found a gem there. And like you and I were talking on the phone the other day how there's like three stages of P-Funk. You know, this
yeah.
was when the band was called Funkadelic.
Right.
Not to ruin my fire, but I got a Parliament song coming up tomorrow night. And then... He just now it's Parliament Funkadelic. You were P-Funk,
we're the
All P-Funk
All-Stars
or,
now. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He kind of keeps reinventing himself.
Yeah.
While still staying true to his core. So, I mean, the guy was just genius. And it's amazing he is still going. Yeah, with
well,
the same
you know, the
high energy
type
show.
He's a major... He's a major proponent of Afrofuturism along with Sun Ra. Of course, we feature Sun Ra on the jazz show. And I find it really, I find that whole sense of Afrofuturism very interesting. And it's something that
too.
He was a major proponent of and still is to this day. So, you know, God bless him.
You know,
well,
we're doing.
We're at the last song.
Yeah,
where
one more thing about
song?
That.
Hold
on. I did my show 2 weeks ago. We'll talk about that in a second. And this show on Black History Month. And I think George Clinton has to be at the top of the list if anybody wants to consider Black History music and what he's done and his influences, who influenced him. He's like the center point, the centerpiece in the Thanksgiving dinner, you know, table.
Yeah.
Put him right in the middle. So go ahead.
Absolutely. So we are at the last song of my set. And this is a song that's very, very important to me. And the reason for that is I had a very close friend by the name of Ken Semke, and this show is dedicated to his memory. And Ken was a customer that came down from Buffalo to our store in Bradford, Pennsylvania. And he and I became very, very close. And we went 3 years in a row to the Chicago Blues Fest. And Ken was handicapped, and he was in a motorized scooter. And we were in Chicago, and we were looking for something to go to. And we saw this ad for this show, H-Bomb Ferguson. I'd never heard of him. Kenny had never heard of him. Why not? Let's go. So we went there, and there's this guy, well into his 70s, comes out in a print leopard skin onesie with his package packed, sings this song, goes over to all the women and swings it in front of them, of course, you know, with the onesie on, of course. And I was just in hysterics. I then found out how important this guy was and how he went back into the 50s and recorded. And I actually had a 78 of one of his songs. And this is H-Bomb Ferguson. Now, this song was released in the 80s by Earwig Records. So this is the latest song, but it's one of the earliest people that were featuring because he first recorded in 1952. So this is H-Bomb Ferguson, and this is Meatloaf.
I got meatloaf waiting on
Excellent.
Imagine hearing that live with about 100 people in a small club just fucking going nuts.
What color wig did he have on?
Pink.
Did he?
And he has a face that looks like a dried lemon. Seriously.
An old catcher's net.
Yeah. And play the piano like a son of a gun. He could play, man.
Yeah.
He could play.
I can tell. I can tell.
You know,
that
1952,
that is
his first song. You know, and I knew nothing of him. Knew nada.
Yeah, neither did I. Neither did I. And I told you that he was the only one I really never heard of.
No.
But boy, you found a good one there. And it's cool because, you know, like I went back when you sent me that song, it's like, well, I got to find out who this guy is. And I went back and listened to a few of his 50s releases. I listened to Rock H-Bomb Rock, Foley Going Crazy. He had a song called Good Lovin', which not related to the other one we just heard. And he had some great stuff back in the 50s. He just you said he just kind of disappeared, right?
Right, he basically gave up, and there's a couple people like that, and Bull Moose Jackson is another one. I almost did a Bull Moose Jackson, where they disappeared and they were, you know, living in obscurity, and people found them, and the people at Earwig found them, and talked them into doing it, and gave him this great backing band, and he recorded for them like 3 albums before he passed away. And just great stuff on those albums, too.
Yeah, I'm so glad to hear he came back and got to do that before he died, you know? Instead of dying in obscurity, you know, he left his mark again. And we always talk about Rodriguez along that same lines. You know, just somebody disappeared, and then all of a sudden somebody finds him and says, you need to come out here and do some more music because you're fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, so... Carl, that was a great, great, great set you did. Excellent. And
you know, it's funny. It was, you know, you did yours, and you actually put one of my suggestions on yours, and we'll get to yours here in a moment, Terry, in a moment. But I wanted to show a little bit more of the breadth of black music and the influences in the 50s and 60s, particularly. And it's such a wide range of music.
Oh, we barely
and between the two of us and what you're doing tomorrow, I think we're giving our listeners a real good overview of the influence of black music over the years.
We are. And, you know, like I said, though, we barely scratched the surface. There's so many we could have done. And it was hard to narrow it down for you and for me. But and in case anybody doesn't know what we're talking about, back on 2 weeks ago, February 5th, and you can find it in the Deviant Legion Network on demand, I did Black History Month, and I had a lot of songs that were originals that you would know from other people. So, like I said, it's an on demand, just like this show will be 15 minutes afterwards, and you can go back and listen to that. And it turned into like a trilogy. I just did a Black History Month, 50s and 60s, and Carl goes, hey, you know, I think I'll do one too. And then I said, well, I think I'll do one too. And it turned into a threesome, basically.
Yep.
So three-part show, basically, for our Black History Month. Do you want to do any of your little housekeeping before we
No,
do
actually,
our last
we'll
song?
Do it after your song. We'll do it after your song.
Okay,
so
we
go
got
ahead.
Time.
And... yeah, we do.
All right. Well, Carl, you know, you heard what we did tonight. It was wonderful. A lot of 50s, a lot of 60s, a lot of originals. And he had 17 songs. I said, well, I want to add an 18th song. And what I added was the Isley Brothers, Who's That Lady, which was recorded in Bell's Bell Sound Studios in New York City in 1964, released a single the same year. And the reason I want to close out the show with this tonight is because tomorrow night on Rock This Town Radio, the TC, I'm doing the 70s. So everything you heard on my first show and everything you heard today were the influences we're going to be playing tomorrow night. And you know all that, you'll know all the songs, all the black songs, so the soul, the funk, the rock and roll, a little disco. And this song, Who's That Lady, like I said, it was recorded in 1964. The Isley Brothers, 9 years later, shrugged the song out, blew the dust off, added some lyrics, changed the tempo, and had a big hit single with the re-release, and you all know it. They actually called it That Lady. They dropped Who's That Lady from it, or Who's from the title. So this is my kind of a segue from tonight into tomorrow night. This is Isley Brothers with Who's That Lady, the original.
Here we go.
Who's that lady?
Who's that lady?
Beautiful lady.
Who's that lady?
Who's that lady?
Who's that lady?
That real, real, real fine lady.
The beautiful lady.
I wish somebody would introduce her to me. I didn't get a chance.
I didn't get a chance.
To ask her today.
To ask her today.
It was love.
First
I just saw her tonight, and I wish somebody would introduce her to me. I like the way she danced in the dark and disappeared in the night, and oh, she stole my heart. It was love at first sight. Who's that lady? That beautiful lady,
the beautiful lady.
Who's that lady?
Who's that lady?
I gotta meet that lady.
Who's that
lady? And I wish somebody would introduce her to me.
We'll know tomorrow night when we listen to it again, the newer version, you'll see the differences, but it's just so cool how they went from 1964 to 1973 on that song.
Well, you know, there are artists that redo their own songs. Now, that version, I don't know. I didn't know that version. I know the 73 version.
Huh.
Yeah, I did not know that version. So it was really interesting just listening to it and noticing all the differences, and you'll get into that tomorrow. So
yeah,
of course.
I didn't realize you didn't know that.
No, I didn't. But you know what?
Did you
it's
know
cool.
that? Yeah,
no,
that's
I
great.
Knew that it had been done, that it was a remake to 73, but I never had heard the original.
Ah, well, fantastic.
There
I like
you go.
Doing that for you, man. I like doing
yeah,
that
and
for
I like
you.
Doing it for you, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Man, this has been a great show, Carl.
Now you know who H. Bomb Ferguson is.
Yeah, your set list is phenomenal. I enjoyed it when I was, you know, converting it and loading it in the studio, and I was really looking forward to tonight. So
you did it.
I think between the two of us, we knocked it out of the park as far as covering the Black History Month.
Absolutely, and of course we've got tomorrow with you
tomorrow.
Too. So we got it really covered. And I will say that sometime in March we're going to go back to our Chess versus Stax, and we're going to do the subsidiary labels, Checker versus Volt, and we're going to do sometime in March. So we're still not completely done with black music. Trust me on this.
We're talking about black.
Okay, go ahead.
No, I said we kind of ran out of calendar on the Black History Month.
Exactly.
I wish we would have thought of that earlier. We could have set that up for next Saturday. But if anybody knows what we go through to do a show, we need a little more time than that. So,
absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So talking about black, okay, on Wednesday, the 22nd, we're going to do this at 2 p.m. in the afternoon EST, 11 p.m. on Pacific time, because that's where my people are. We're going to welcome back indie film director Joe Black, who is working on he's in post-production for the sequel to his movie Natasha Hall, and we're going to have him on along with Vicki Love, who also is in post-production of her film Lake. And so we're going to talk about what post-production is and what all you have to do and all the crap you have to do an independent film. So that's going to be a really good show. I wanted to do something on Tuesday, and we still may do something for Tuesday, because Tuesday, of course, is Fat Tuesday, which is, of course, the beginning of Mardi Gras. So we may do something. Rachel and I may pull something together for that. Hopefully we have a chance just to do a little, like, celebration of New Orleans and that sort of thing. I had asked Joe Badon and Rick Coleman if they were interested, but unfortunately they're not able to be with us. But still, I'd want to do something. So hopefully we'll do something on Tuesday. And then on Friday, Adam is going to be doing the Cathode Ray Mission and Batman the Animated Series. And then a week from tomorrow, what are you doing on Rock This Town?
I'm doing songs that start with the and end with, you know, everybody forgets that little tiny word at the beginning of song titles, T-A-T. But every song I'm going to do starts with the and ends with whatever.
Exactly.
One of my
I want to hear that song, the whatever. You know, so I'm expecting to hear that tomorrow.
Well, I better start writing it and find some musicians to back me on it, because
okay,
I don't know it.
Okay, fair enough.
But just to give you a little example. Oh, boy,
right.
I can't find where I am. Never mind.
Or the weight.
Fuck it.
Of course, the weight.
Well, actually, I didn't. I originally had the weight on there, and I took it off.
If everyone knows this. Yeah, understood.
All right, I'll give
understood.
You one. A Frank Sinatra song. Guess which one?
No idea. Just talk to me.
The Way You Look Tonight.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, that'll work.
And then, all right, well, I got like, okay, let me do some bands. I got the Box Stops, Jackson Brown, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Moody Blues, a couple new ones you won't know, newer bands, Bruce Hornsby and Range, I got. It's, trust me, it's a nice set list. And actually, what I did, I had 21, and I was going crazy on this. I looked at it; it was like an hour and 30 minutes of music. I'm like, no, I got to stop the insanity. I cut it back.
Exactly. So we're about ready to hit the two hour mark. So very quickly, why don't you just give your YouTube channel?
Okay, but I'd like to reiterate, tomorrow night at 8 p.m. on Rock This Town Radio at TC, we're continuing our Black History Month with the 70s. Now, everything you heard on my show 2 weeks ago and everything you heard today were the influences for what you're going to hear tomorrow. And like I said, you know all the songs, so come on back by and revisit the 70s with us. There's so many good tunes in there. And it's funny because, you know, like when disco was up and we were all rock and rolling and disco came around, we're like, oh, fuck this. But now you look at it, how great the bass lines were and all that music and shit. Fantastic. Okay, my YouTube channel.
Okay, we got
channel,
40 seconds, so give us your
my YouTube channel. I'm trying to. YouTube channel, TCC77. I shoot videos around the country at shows I go to. That's TCC77 on YouTube.
All right. Well, listen, thank you very much for listening. Really appreciate it. And we'll see you tomorrow with TC. I'll be there, too. All right?
All right. Good night, folks.
Good night, TC. Good night.
Good night, folks.
Don't let the bed bugs bite.